Ever just, look at someone, or maybe even an object, like your favorite cup, and think, what makes it specifically it, that unique
You meant
quality?
distinctness, yeah.
Exactly. Today we're doing a deep dive into that very idea. Philosophers call it entiterity, basically, the fundamental who-ness or this-ness of everything we experience.
It sounds abstract, but it's really about how we understand individual beings, isn't it?
Totally. We're drawing on some philosophical takes here. Our mission. To kind of unpack what makes something a unique entity and, maybe surprisingly, why that matters and how we actually see and interact with the world. Ready to jump in?
Let's do it. So the starting point really is that you can't have an experience without, without something having the experience, persons or things.
Right. No entities, no experience. It's almost like the basic building block. You need stuff for reality to happen to.
Exactly. It's foundational. So how do we first meet these entities in our day-to-day life? There's this idea of a naive understanding.
Yeah. Like, you see your hand. You don't first think, oh, collection of skin, bones, nerves. You just see your hand as a whole thing.
Precisely. It's this immediate sort of intuitive grasp, not analyzing, just knowing it as a hand. And it's not
Wow.
like a lesser way of knowing, it's a valid pre-scientific awareness.
Okay, so that's the everyday way. But then there's the other side, the theoretical.
Right. That's where we start analyzing. We look at an entity based on its different functions or ways of acting. Think about a plant.
Okay, like photosynthesis, growing, absorbing water, that kind of stuff.
Exactly. It's biological functions. And
Yeah.
these functions aren't just random. They form a structure, an individuality structure, usually guided by a key function, like the biotic or life function for the plant.
So the analysis helps us understand how it works.
Yes, but the key point is that this analysis, where you isolate the plant for study, isn't the complete plant itself. It's a specific view, a specific angle.
Which brings us to a really crucial idea, doesn't it? That whether we grasp something intuitively or analyze it theoretically, our understanding is never quite complete.
That's it. Entiterity itself acts as what the sources call a limiting idea. It acknowledges that the full who-ness or this-ness of anything, it's ultimately unknowable in its totality. You can't fully capture it in concepts.
Like trying to perfectly describe the taste of coffee to someone who's never had it. You can list characteristics, but the actual experience.
Exactly. It remains beyond full conceptualization.
So if we can't fully grasp it through observation or analysis, what does give each entity its unique individual identity? Where does that come from?
Well, the philosophical perspective we're looking at suggests it's grounded in a dependence on, let's call it a transcendent origin, a
An
source.
origin. So, like, everything comes from somewhere beyond itself.
Kind of. The idea is that each entity is uniquely called into being, valued, even sort of named by this origin. And it's this unique relationship, this dependence, that ultimately makes one thing fundamentally different from another.
Okay, that's a deep thought. And it has real-world implications, doesn't it, for how we treat each other?
Absolutely. It leads directly to this concept of parity of respect. If each entity has this unique grounding, this inherent value from its origin, then we should engage with that full beingness in others.
Meaning you don't just reduce people or even things to simple categories or functions.
Exactly. You recognize their unique status as beings dependent on this origin. Think about historical examples like William Wilberforce arguing against slavery. Part of that was seeing slaves not as property, but as unique individuals, entities deserving respect because of their inherent being. Same applies to how we view animals, too.
Recognizing that inherent who-ness, it challenges reducing anyone or anything to just a label or a use.
Precisely. And just briefly, the sources also mention how entities can be seen as subject, the one acting, or object, the thing being acted upon, depending on the context. And a subtle difference between subject meaning the unique individual and subject meaning the topic you're studying.
Little nuances in language reflecting these ideas. And metaphor plays a role too.
Yeah, metaphor helps us kind of stretch our understanding, connecting the structure of one kind of entity to another. It bridges gaps in intuition.
So, wrapping this up, we encounter things, we analyze them, but their core uniqueness, their entiterity, it remains something deeper, right?
Right.
Rooted somewhere beyond our descriptions.
That seems to be the takeaway. We live amongst unique entities. We are unique entities. But fully grasping that uniqueness is always just beyond our reach.
So here's something for you, the listener, to think about. If you really take on board this idea that every single person, everything, has this inherent, maybe even slightly mysterious uniqueness, grounded in something beyond just what we can see or measure, How might that change things?
Does it shift how you interact? Maybe bring a different kind of attention or respect or even wonder to the world around you?
Just a thought to carry with you.